right, we alive. I'm sitting down with Khan Porter, which, do you know what? I was thinking about the last time that we were hanging out, and outside of like probably just bumping into you at competitions, we had a week in Utah in that house before the 2019 games.
Fuck,
do you remember that?
Yes.
It was the most random week ever.
That was the last time we properly hung out?
Yeah. Wow. That was like this weird house. Yeah, weird house in the middle of the mountains in Utah. Yep. And it was a mansion, but like old American style mansion. Mm, and I remember having the worst jet lag and just being awake all night.
Yeah, I remember that the first few days that we were there. I remember it was like right when CBD oil was a thing and you couldn't get it anywhere except Utah.
Yeah.
And I remember us getting there and Rob being like, we have to find a place to get CBD oil. And then getting it and everyone kind of being like really tentative and having a dropper the first night and then they're not doing anything. And the next night, maybe like, fuck, let's send it and see how this goes, and having a swig. And then it cured my jet lag pretty quick, smart.
Nice. That's a good tactic, actually. Yeah. That and like melatonin. I only ever use melatonin for jet lag. It works a treat.
Melatonin's unreal. It's weird that we can't get it super easily here, but you can just go and grab it. You can get like kids' melatonin off the shelf in America.
You can get anything you want in America. That's why.
Yeah, it's wild. It is wild.
So we are not here to talk about CrossFit. We're not here to talk about fitness. We're not here to talk about gyms. We're going to talk about love, relationships, sex. And I think that there's probably a lot of people that follow you that will be very jealous right now. And my goal is to kind of ask you things that, like, I'm sure a lot of girls would love to ask you, but maybe just never had the chance, never been one-on-one on a podcast.
Yeah, let's
go. Asking you anything that I feel like my brain wants to find out. So what I figured,
having done so many podcasts that are exclusively about CrossFit, I'm excited to kind of, maybe like talk about a completely different side of me that I haven't really ever had the platform to speak about. I think like sex, sexuality, intimacy, all of that is a huge part of who I am. And like, I don't know, I kind of dipped my toes in the water and put a post out a little while ago about a book I read, sort of touching on it, and it seems to be well received. So it's cool to have the opportunity to chat to someone about some different stuff.
It is so funny that I think that sex and our relationships are such a big part of who we are as humans, but it's just something you don't really talk about. Like, it's kind of hidden and it's mysterious and it's kept low key. And it's like, I think it's a super important part of my relationship and who I am and the things that I'm interested in. Like, sex is probably the most interesting thing to me in the world. Okay.
It is very interesting. And it's always been super fucking interesting. Go.
Right?
Let's
I'm going to start with some. I feel like these questions might actually be yes, no questions. I have a few that I was like, you know what? Fuck it. You know how people do at the end of a podcast, like, hey, we're going to do some like fast firing questions. I was like, I have some that I want to kick this thing off with. Okay. Would you ever do an OnlyFans?
Do you know what? I've contemplated this and I thought about it. I think I'd do it, but I'd do it taste. If I was going to do it, I'd do it tastefully. But I wouldn't do just super explicit. A lot of, like more implied stuff. And it depends. Yeah. Potentially, but it would be more implied. However, I don't know, like it would be, I love taking photos and creating intimate content with a partner. And I think that that's really, really, it's a really cool thing to do and to have. I don't know if I would necessarily want to share that with the internet. I mean, I post photos in Speedos and with my top off enough on my Instagram. I think people get all but probably what they want my OnlyFans for. But yeah, I certainly don't think it's like a hard no, because fuck knows how desperate I'll get for cash at some point in my life. when my CrossFit is open. But I don't see a need to do it. I don't have the desire to do it, but I wouldn't be like a hard no. That's a definite not. I wouldn't do it.
Are you single or taken right now? And I say taken, but I mean, have you got a partner? Have you got someone single right now? How long have you been single?
Single. Good question. I guess I broke up with my long-term girlfriend last year and then was kind of single-ish for like kind of like dating casually for the last sort of, I don't know, a little while, but like, and then that kind of ended spectacularly not long ago. And then, yeah, so I've been, but like it was, yeah, very casual, kind of seeing someone overseas. We knew it couldn't really go anywhere long term. She's based over in America, but yeah, so single at the moment. And I don't, single and not really looking to mingle too much.
I was going to ask you, I was going to find out if you prefer to be single or if you like to date and date casually with multiple people, or if you prefer to date one person at a time, or if you're a relationship kind of person.
Great question. And it's a question that I very much feel like I've changed my tone to. Like, so I've had like, I've been in a monogamous relationship, two long-term monogamous relationships.
How long were they?
I think coming out of both, I had like the, I like in my head, I can't wait to just date and be single. And like, and I did the kind of hookup thing back in the day.
How long were those relationships?
6 years and then five and a half.
Yeah. Okay. Because so, you've like, only just turned 30. Like those are significant relationships.
I'm 33. I'm an 33. Older gentleman. 33. Yeah. I'm getting on. Getting on.
You're an 80s baby. Hey.
89. Lucky last year of the 80s. Yeah. But I think for me, no, that's right. I think it's one of those things of like grass is always greener. And I think what I want now, and this has come about through just like a lot of introspection and probably like stuff over the last 12 months, I really want to find, like, I want a partner. I want a partner and I want like a fuck yeah, all in relationship. And I think that in my head, the whole idea of being single and dating, it's all fun until you kind of find yourself in that position. And it's like, man, you have the same mundane conversations over and over again. And like every now and again, you'll like have a find someone you can have a good conversation with, whatever it is. But when you find someone you just click with, I don't know, like, I think that's a really special thing. And I think that's more so what I'm looking for now. I think I'm ready to find like my like long-term person. And that's kind of why I'm like, yeah, I'm single, but not really looking, like kind of, but not really. You know, if someone incredible came along, then sure, I'd be open to it. But like, yeah, definitely not.
So would you be the kind of person that would stay single until you met that person, like until you found someone that was someone that you just click with, there's something really great chemistry, there's something really awesome there that you're super excited about? Or are you someone that will meet people, bring them into your life, experiment with it, see if it goes anywhere, and then shut it down if it doesn't?
Ooh, I think
so. Like, here's the thing that I think about when people are like, oh, I really want a partner. So the girl's version of that I feel like I typically see is a girl is like, hey, I really want a partner. Like, I want a boyfriend. I want to be in a relationship. And rather than waiting for the right kind of person that is a person that they actually want to be in a partnership with, right? Like, want to cultivate an amazing relationship with, they just have this like boyfriend shaped void in their life. And they're like, I'm going to fucking fill it. And if he ticks enough boxes, he's in. And it's like, they're just on a hunt. And those guys that get pulled into that, they don't really want a relationship, or maybe they do. They just kind of go with the, okay, I guess. Then you wind up down the track being like, fuck, we are two different people. We have totally different values. How do we even get into this? Here we are, like however many years later. So would you potentially be willing to stay single indefinitely until you met someone who was incredible?
I think yes now, but I think in the past I've been very much someone that would bounce from one person to like another, like situationship, let's call it, and you kind of take it to a point and then fuck, in the past, get yourself into some sticky situations where you kind of go down that dating path and it gets to the what are we, and you're like, I'm still not sure. And then that always makes for like some shitty conversations. And I think they're inevitable conversations, particularly for guys when you go on that dating scene, because I think it's kind of like you do want that. I don't know, for me anyway, it was like, yeah, I do value connection, and I value connection in so many ways. And I think I can connect with people quite quickly. And I think I'm quite an open book, so I'll let a person in quite quickly, and it can foster a fair amount of intimacy in a short space of time. And I think then that can often become a situation where you are kind of like, at that precipice of becoming like an exclusive couple, but then I sort of tend to feel like I'll freak out and pull back a little bit and be not quite sure and go from there. So I think in the past, it's probably been more of a, that's the second option, the kind of like dip the toes in the water, feel it out, see how it's going, and then kind of pull back. But I think now, yeah, I think I'm pretty clear in what I'm looking for in a partner now. And I think that's for the first time. I think it's less about being single to find the, I mean, it is about being single to find the perfect person, but it's also for me a really big thing that I've taken away from particularly the last 12 months and conversations I've had with my ex and with other people is I really need to be in a situation and a position in my life from like my own, in a lot of different ways where I can make sure that if I'm going to be going into a relationship, I'm actually ready to turn up and I'm actually ready to, you know, to turn up and to show up and to be the partner that that person needs as well. Because it's one thing for me to be like, yeah, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be single until I find the perfect person for me. But what I've come to realize is, you know, what maybe were values that I thought or things that I thought I was bringing to a relationship, that's not going to be the right thing for every person. Mm. And having the kind of, I guess, self-awareness now to realize that there are things that I do need to work on in within myself to be able to show up as the very best partner I can be, there's that side of things as well that's kind of keeping me from being like, fuck yeah, like, you know, whatever, to go in. I think, you know, if the right person came along, it would be hopefully the opportunity for us both, you know, I don't think there is a perfect person. I think that there is situations that you choose, you look at like the good and the bad and you look at like, you know what, is the good here worth working on the bad? And then I think it becomes an active process. And again, this is another thing that I feel like I've really changed my thoughts around over the last sort of 12 to 18 months. And, you know, looking at not only things that were wrong in past relationships for me that I potentially was probably too critically attuned to, like too attuned to like critically. And then also thinking about like having these blind spots kind of shown to me about where I wasn't showing up in relationships as well. And then being able to kind of go, fuck, okay, like it really is an ongoing, like an active process. And it's something that I've maybe like not put the energy into in the past and not had the spare energy to put into in the past. So I think I'm also waiting to feel grounded enough myself and to be able to show up and give the best version of myself in a relationship as much as I'm looking for the perfect other person.
Yeah, I know I have certainly figured out for myself that I need someone who I want to do the hard shit with. Like when I think of the kind of people that I can do difficult conversations with, when I look at people that I admire who are mentally strong, who are determined, you know, have all these qualities and values that I appreciate. It's like, that's what I need in a partner, because a life partner is the person that, yes, you're going to get to do the fun shit with. But if you only assess your life partner based on all the good things, you're going to have a really hard time when it comes to all of the fucking really challenging things that come along in a 100%. Relationship, inevitably, right? It has to come. Yep. So if you get fucked with someone that is not on the same page as you, that's going to be a really rough relationship. Yep. You actually just brought up a really cool thing that I was thinking about recently. And it was a question that I read somewhere. Somebody had written down something along the lines of, stop thinking about what kind of partner that you want and start thinking about what kind of partner you want to be. And so I want to ask you, what kind of partner do you want to be?
I think for me, you kind of just alluded to it there. I want to be someone that like the in-between moments become super special. And that's something that, yeah, I agree. Like I think we kind of get sold. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Alain de Botton, the philosopher, and he talks a lot about romanticism and how we're kind of missold what romantic relationships and partnerships should be like through popular culture, stories.
Oh God, it drives me nuts. It's awful.
Around with relationships. And like he has some incredible content you can find on YouTube on his School of Life channel about relationships and about how like fucking boring they can be, and how they aren't these romantic, insane love stories that we're kind of shown, you know, in reality TV, in on the movies and stuff like that. And just how much the miss kind of communication around what romantic or romanticism is actually impacts our expectations in a relationship. So I think I want to be the type of partner that I think I want to be, first of all, like emotionally available outside of the bedroom and other sort of like areas where it's easy enough to show up. I want to be, or for me to show up. I think I also, I want to be with someone where we're building something together. I want to feel like a part of a team, and that takes, that's more so me also showing up for them as well. I think it's been in some respects hard, like, you know, being a professional athlete comes with, there's an inherent amount of sort of selfishness and self-centeredness that goes into being a professional athlete or being a high achiever in any field. And I really want to find someone that either there's a way to kind of share that with, or there's a way to share the offshoots of that with. But I think, yeah, I want to, I don't know, like I think it's such a hard question to answer, because I think it will depend on what my partner needs from me.
I think that's the perfect answer though, right? If you answer with, I'm going to be XYZ, then it's rigid, but it's
it also becomes,
it's going to depend. It's flexible.
What I want from the relationship
versus
what my partner wants. So I think it's about, I mean, I could talk underwater with a mouthful of marbles. For me, conversation and communication is such a key aspect of a relationship. And I find good conversation so sexy and also just engaging. And I think being with someone that I'm able to have that clear communication with and be able to just talk about everything so that I can figure out the type, what they do need from me as a partner, and show up in that way. I think it's just a willingness to show up. Mm. And that comes down to being open and aware of how I need to show up for the other person.
Have you ever considered starting a relationship without having sex with someone? Like, if you were looking for a partner and you're single and you're trying to meet someone. So, you know, you surely you've heard of like girls who do the 3-date rule, or girls who are like, I've heard of like 30 dates. Have you ever done that? Would you ever do that?
I've not slept with previous partners on the first date for them because they didn't want to.
You're like, I would have. I want to really not.
I think like sex and sexuality and like sexual chemistry is such an important part of relationships.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I think you can build it without having intercourse. And I think it could be a lot of fun. But I don't know, like I've never found myself in a position. I have actually. Like I've kind of, I guess it depends on how you look at define a relationship, but there's certainly been people that I've met and kind of spent time with and it's been non-sexual, and then it's developed into something from that as well. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, yeah. So I don't know. I think it would just depend. I feel like so many of these things are so situational, which is kind of a bit of a cop-out answer, but it wouldn't be something that I would necessarily go and actively seek out. But if it just kind of happened that I built chemistry with this person and I built a relationship with this person that was platonic to start with, or was at least not even platonic, but just non-sexual. And then that allowed us to, I don't know, create a deeper bond or whatever it is. It's not something that I'm like opposed to. And I think that kind of goes across the board with anything, whether it kind of comes down to just relationships, sex, all that kind of stuff. I don't think there's anything that I'm like, whoa, that's like completely off limits, and I would never at least kind of like entertain that idea. I think it's all just so circumstantial, and it would just depend on the person and the way the connection manifests.
Do you like having friendships? Well, I guess I was curious because I think a lot of women do think like that. They're like, well, I'm going to build an emotional connection with someone. I'm going to withhold sex. They become these gatekeepers of sex. And then the reward essentially is like, okay, well, we can sleep together now because you've passed this arbitrary timeline that I have in my head that says you're now committed enough to see it through, which I think can often not work in their favor. But I think it's an interesting strategy or tactic or a way to experiment because,
it wouldn't be a turn off for me. If a girl was like, look, I don't want to, like, I really like hanging out with you or whatever it is. I don't want to sleep with you for whatever it is, 3 days, 30 days, however they want to do it. It wouldn't be a deal breaker for me at all because I think intimacy goes so fucking far beyond dick in vag. Like it's, yeah, and you can have incredible chemistry with someone. And it be like, I've had people that I've like hung out with and it's just been gone and had a fucking several hour conversation and there was so much chemistry just in that conversation. And then you're like, say, all right, see you later and like go about your merry way. And it's still so gratifying in such a different way. And like, yeah, so I definitely wouldn't be, it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me, no.
I think there'd be pros and cons. It's like you said, sex, like the sexual connection and the sexual chemistry is part of getting to know someone to me, like in my brain. I'm like,
Yeah, for
oh man,
sure.
tell me about your sexual personality. Like I'm talking about it before I've even considered whether I'm not, I actually want to have sex with someone. I'm like, tell me about what you're like in bed. Like, please
Yeah.
give me information. It's so
Yeah.
interesting.
Do you
I
find
think.
that do you find that guys are super open with that, or do you find that that can be sometimes working the opposite way and guys will maybe close up about that, feel
It
intimidated with
depends.
or putting them on the spot like that?
Totally depends. It depends on like if guys have got experience in like sex positive communities, they typically know how to verbalize that stuff. Where it's like, okay, well, here's what most guys will say though. Oh, I'm dominant. Yeah, I like to be in control. And what
Just
else?
assuming what
I
you're
like
gonna
it a
want
little
them to want
rough.
to do.
Yeah, it's like it's basically the rundown of every porno they've ever watched. And I'm like, you learned sex from porn. Okay, cool. And part of that I think is because, yeah, like you said, they're probably saying what they think that person wants to hear. And then like what they assume is sexy. And that's from porn, it's from media, it's from movies, it's from fucking everywhere. It's like this little narrative of what masculine and sex and stuff
What
should be
masculine
like.
sex is supposed to be,
Oh
and it's
God.
so fucking misguided.
If a guy says he's dominant, I immediately assume he's not. I immediately assume, literally,
He
I'm
might
like,
have
okay, you
been
don't know
choked
what
a
that
little bit
means.
and be
Cool.
like,
Yeah.
yeah. He's
And
like, he saw
so,
the shorts for 50 Shades of Grey and he's like, I can do this. I
yeah.
swear.
So I will often give guys a good explanation of like my sexual and personality so that they get an idea of what I'm looking for. But often that example isn't enough either. I think that you then get to that point where I'm looking for more detail and that's when they shut down. They it's like it's hard. Guys who have more experience with sex parties, play groups, or just generally are involved with communities or non-monogamous folk, they tend to know how to express themselves a little bit better. And I think maybe it's just a practice thing. You know, I don't think it's people are inherently closed off. It's just a practice, you know, somebody's been exposed to that and they build comfort and confidence and that stuff. So yeah, it's a fun question to ask. I love asking what people's sexual personality is. It's kind of a test, like to a degree. I'm like, hey, how you answer this question is going to tell me so much about how willing you are to be open, how vulnerable you are, how much you know about yourself as well. Because I really am trying to find out also what you enjoy. Like, tell me what you enjoy, because this is what sex is about. It's pleasure and being of service to one another to a degree. And if I
I
can
think
share
that's
what
a
I
really key
like,
point,
you can
that
share what you
service.
like.
And I think that's where like that vulnerability and that being of service, like the vulnerability is what's really missing, I think, for a lot of guys. Like you kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of, I just think that there is this kind of beautiful sexual renaissance going on for women at the moment, where women are being encouraged to reclaim their sexual selves and to be more like, there is a lot more sex positive verbiage going on for women, but guys are still stuck in that same porno fucking, cool, like girls all like that
Yeah,
50
it's
Shades of
funny how
Grey,
it
like that
seems
kind of
like
thing.
guys can't talk about it or people like I feel like a lot of the movements that are happening with women are because women are prolific social media users and they are super open and vulnerable and happy to do it. Men are just not as much. Like, do you talk with your mates about sex and relationships much?
So that's where it's an interesting thing. It's like kind of one of those things where I'm such an open book with my buddies and stuff around that. And so we'll have conversations around it. And I think that it's initially through those conversations where you start to realize just how backwards the conversations around sex and sexuality with for men are, and how kind of influenced it is by porn, by like normal media, and how, like exactly what you said, I could probably think of that would be the response for 90% of people that I know. And I like my friends and I'm really lucky that my close friend group are very open and very kind of like they're open and they're kind of happy to comfortable being vulnerable. They're comfortable kind of the open-minded, experimenting, all that kind of stuff. And so, but it's almost like the conversations are still done in such a way that there's that overriding sense of like that masculine need to kind of make it a little bit funny, or like still have that bit of bravado about how you explain it. So it's not kind of, it's not quite embracing the full vulnerability of it. And so I think that then, I think that's kind of where like, as much as I'm sure that a lot of my buddies are like, I know that a lot of my buddies are super into, you know, communicating with their partners, being open to trying new things and not necessarily going in with this kind of really narrow idea of what good sex is that I think a lot of people have, males have, from, you know, porn and mainstream media and stuff like that. And so I think, but I still think the conversations guy to guy need to evolve, because I still think that there's a lack of, a lack of kind of vulnerability, but also just a lack of the communicate, like a lack of kind of, how do you, there's something like missing. There's a level of intimacy missing from the conversation and that kind of willingness to be like, like drop that kind of the humor around it, or drop the need to it still to have those kind of masculine overtones and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like there's obviously still things that I think a lot of guys think are taboo to even discuss in conversations.
I think that there's just a lot of emotions that people aren't okay with just feeling on the spot, right? So it's like, if you're talking about something that you struggle with, something that you're uncomfortable with, like, and it could be anything from your relationship to like fucking anxiety or performance anxiety in the bedroom. It's like, there's a range of things that all men will experience. And it's like, if you say it without the humor, then you don't get to numb out that feeling a little bit or deflect that feeling. It's like, if you say it without boasting about something at the same time, you don't get to be in that. It's like, it's just, it's almost like you're disguising this emotion and making yourself feel better by wrapping it up in something else.
And I think that that's, I think that that's where, you know, like you said, women are just prolific social media users and just better communicators in general, I believe. I think that that's where it becomes, I think having someone, like having a partner that is, that like a, like for guys to have a partner that is comfortable enough to express their sexual, you know, desires, needs, personality, so to speak, and is open to have those kind of deeper conversations around it, would go a long way for a lot of guys. And I think that's where, for me, a lot of my, I'll say sexual confidence, because it's not necessarily confidence, but like sexual open-mindedness and like explorativeness and stuff comes from, I was very lucky that when I kind of, I've always had a real healthy interest in sex, but then I had a lot of partners sort of early on that were just really, I mean, I'm, as I said, I'm a big communicator, and I've always been someone that's like, good sex to me was about figuring out, like, it's like a journey with that partner and it's about figuring out what they like, what they're into, rather than just going in with a preconceived notion. And the simplest way to do that is to have a conversation. So I was always just kind of like happy to be vulnerable and be like, hey, like, and this is young, like, you know, early 20s and stuff like that. It's like, what are you into? Like, I don't know how the fucking, I'm not some sort of like sex genius. Let's explore and play around and figure stuff out, and let's be willing to kind of do shit that makes you look like an idiot, and be willing to kind of like ask questions that may make you seem dumb. And particularly with, you know, I had partners that were way more sexually experienced than I was, and then partners that were older as well, and then having that communication and being willing to be like, look, I know what I'm fucking doing, like, let's help me figure out what to do for you. And then you watch just how quickly being that vulnerable and having that kind of, I guess, like that willingness to kind of to have that conversation then leads to the sex going from you thinking it's really good and they've loved it to it actually being fucking amazing. And it all just comes down to being able to have those conversations. And then that, then, I mean, there's so many levels to that. There's kind of the whole, I think if guys are able to be more vulnerable, you're instantly going to make your partner more comfortable around you and more willing to kind of express themselves, because hey, you've been vulnerable, you've shown them that there's no judgment from you. And then the more comfortable a person is, obviously, like, that's, I don't know if you're going to say like the magic ingredient to sex, I would say it's probably comfortability with each other, like how comfortable that person feels with you.
I really like the idea of like you build trust by taking risk. You can't get trust before you've taken the risk. Like you have to take these micro risks. And I think exposing yourself and being vulnerable with conversations around sex is one of the fastest ways to build trust and comfort with someone, which ultimately makes for fucking way better sex.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, way better. It's like as uncomfortable as those moments are, it's almost like the degree to which they're uncomfortable and difficult and awkward and tricky and you might not know the answers and you're just kind of like trying to find the words is the same degree to which the sex is going to be so much better.
Yeah, exactly. And like you sort of said earlier, we all fucking do, like every guy's had fucking those days where you're just like, just nothing goes to plan, or you're kind of like, I'm ready to go. And you're just like we've all fucking had bad sexual experiences. Mm. Every single person has in various different ways. And it's like, yeah, I think the only way that you kind of like sell yourself short is if you're not willing to kind of have those conversations and do it without that without that bravado, without that humor.
Yeah.
Or become a genuine kind of connective experience.
Yeah, I think for a lot of men, their sexuality is just such an intrinsic part of what they think is their masculine identity as well. It's hard to like, hey, bring in some vulnerability to their sexuality and it's actually going to make things better. And it's like, fuck, it's an attack on who I am as a person.
Yeah,
I actually wanted to ask you, please answer this and then I'll ask the question. It's going to change the topic. So you go first. Cool.
I was going to say just real quickly, I think that like if you look at masculinity and traditional notions of masculinity, competence is so heavily ingrained in being a man. Like to be a man, you need to be competent. You need to be a provider. You need to have these kind of, and these are, I'm talking traditionally sort of speaking, and hopefully these are kind of changing. I think it depends on it's funny. I think we kind of get ourselves in these little bubbles where like a lot of my mates, it's, you know, they're all very comfortable, not necessarily adhering to traditional masculine identity, you know, things. And then you kind of go outside of that, you go, oh, it's not necessarily the same everywhere. But yeah, it's I think that kind of competence and that is so inherently linked to the traditional notions of masculinity. It's hard to kind of be like, hey, I don't know what I'm fucking doing.
Have you read The Mask of Masculinity?
I haven't. I've been recommended it so many times, though.
Yeah, the sexuality mask is one of them. He's got the athlete mask. He's got, like, the Joker mask. He's got I think he's got, like, the nerd or the intellectual. I won't say nerd. Yeah. That's and he's got one other one. But I think it's just a nice language to put to that experience where it's like, hey, there's someone under the mask, and the mask is you putting on this kind of front. Okay, the question that I had.
Sorry, yeah, go.
You said that you've had these experiences with past partners where you've essentially been like, tell me what you're into. Like, what do you like? And I know that question is actually really quite a hard question to ask, because the same thing for women. Like, we don't always have the words. We don't know. It's like, fuck, what do I like? And then a lot of women who don't watch porn, it's like you often won't have any fucking clue. It's a little bit of a different experience. Like for me, like masturbating, watching porn, those were not parts of my childhood. Like they weren't parts of my life until I was in my 20s. So it's like, you know, I haven't spent much time figuring that out until the last 15 years. But what have you learned from your past partners about good sex or about the ways that you like to have sex that you would never have learned from porn?
I think,
and you can get as explicit as you like.
I think it's so. I think first and foremost is that everyone is so fucking different. Mm-hmm. And like you said, a lot of people, they don't necessarily know what they want. So the worst thing you can do with that person is just assume they're going to want what you believe to be good sex.
Yeah.
And I think being willing to explore and to start fucking slowly, because like we said before, sex is about so much more than dick and vag. And it's like, explore. I mean, it's people's bodies are like storybooks. And I think that you can kind of, this is a bit of an out there analogy. And I think that when you kind of become intimate with someone, half of the enjoyment is, if the, particularly if they're not quite sure what they want, or they kind of give you a very narrow thing, is taking the time and enjoying the process of exploring that, of, you know, trying things like slowly and like being willing to kind of, you know, let them explore your body as well and do these kind of things so that they can potentially kind of coax it out. Because I think a lot of people, like you said, they don't know what they like, But if you're kind of open-minded enough and willing to take things slow enough when it comes to that initial kind of, maybe let's call it like the first few times that you are intimate with them, like sexually, then it can become a really fun process for both of you to actually figure that out on the way. And I think some of the earlier things that I kind of learned is like, you kind of watch porn, you think just like get a massive hard on and go as hard as you possibly can. And like maybe like choke them a little bit because they like
it's that even too. In movies, right? It's like just go fast. The faster you can rip each other's clothes off and the faster you can get the dick into the pussy, the better it must be. And it's just like oh,
just go fucking hammer and tongs. And learning that is just like such a very small part of it. Like some, and like, again, I think the biggest takeaway is just how different everyone is and being so willing to kind of be open-minded when you are with a new partner and go through the process of figuring that out would be the number one takeaway. That, yeah, it's not just about going fucking hammer and tongs would be another one. But I think as well, like vulnerability, and we've already touched on this, being willing to kind of let, and I think this is where it gets hard for guys as well, be willing to let your partner take control to an extent. And listen to what they're saying. Resist that urge to kind of shove them down on the bed and go for gold. Yeah. Let them kind of guide you. Because even if they're not quite able to verbalize what they want, perhaps they're able to kind of move you into a position. Perhaps they'll move their body into a position that kind of feels good for them. Or perhaps they'll do it in another way that's not just about like articulating it. Perhaps you'll notice like they'll kind of turn to you and there'll be a part of their body that they want you to kiss. And you kiss that part and you just watch the way that their body moves. Allow them to kind of guide you through things. Don't feel that you need to be the one that can take control. Like if a girl does want you to take control, and I'm so guilty of this, because I think for me, like it's funny you wrote those masks up. I think for me, there was an air earlier in my life for me, where it's like kind of like in a weird way, the same way that I'd started doing CrossFit and I was really good at CrossFit straight away. So it became this kind of core part of my identity. And I was like, fuck yeah, like that just became something that I was super attached to. I think kind of I had some really positive early sexual experiences, particularly with kind of, you know, girls older, much more experienced than me, that gave me this kind of sense of, oh, okay, like I am this kind of, I can wear the mask of sexuality, let's call it. And I am able to kind of be this amazing lover and go in, and it then became a part of my identity too. But what that led to was me kind of going into situations and thinking, right, I'm going to take control and I fucking blow this girl's mind. It's going to be unbelievable. And I'd fucking be doing all these things and going around and this, that, and the other. And like, you know, awesome. But then you kind of do that and maybe you do that a few times with the girl and they'd fucking love it. And it would get to a point where it was kind of like I had conversations. It was just like talking, and one of the girls, a past partner that I was with, was just kind of like, it would be so like, it's so hot that you take control and you do all this stuff and I'm, you know, have all these bloody orgasms and this sort of this, that and the other, and it feels amazing, but it almost feels like it's a fucking routine for you. It would be so much hotter if I could actually be the one completely in control of pleasuring you. And it's so funny because that's kind of often that was one of the early narratives that I sort of exposed to just like reading and just being generally interested, was like, it's always all about your partner's pleasure. That's how you be the best lover, is you just inflict as much pleasure as is physically possible on that person. And so that was kind of that's what I thought I was supposed to do. Go into the bedroom and just fucking, it was put on this performance that they were just like, oh my God, blah, 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 blah. Like what happened? And then you do that a couple of times though. And if it's it's reciprocal. They want to feel sexy. Like your partner wants to feel sexy. They want to feel like you want them as much as, you know, you just want to kind of do that stuff. And that was a big eye opener for me as well. Realizing that, making that kind of connection of like how much was when I was younger, like how much was sex about me performing versus actually about kind of, you know, me performing in the sense of like doing a bunch of stuff to that girl, versus actually allowing them to feel sexy because, you know, you could try and make them feel as sexy as possible. Be like, I want you, I want you, I want you. But they wanted to want you too. Well, they wanted to want me too. And so that was a big eye opener as well, that it's not.
I love that.
That kind of like, I think it's a really cool balance of, yeah, sure, go in, do your thing. it needs to be like as much about giving them pleasure sometimes as allowing them to just be the sexy goddesses that they are and give you, like, it, make it all about you. Let them make it all about you, but let them guide that. Don't you make it all about you. Let them kind of guide that whole experience. And that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I just recently have been hooking up with this guy, and like, I found myself talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, he's a bit of a one trick pony. And it was literally like nothing bad, nothing major. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how to give him feedback now, because I'm like, it's just someone super casual. And I'm like, he'd be open to it, I'm sure. But I'm like, it's always still awkward. And I actually saw someone who did a post, and it was like green flags when you're sleeping with someone casually. And one of the green flags was if they ask for feedback after you've had sex. And I was like, I don't think there are many people who have ever asked me. And I certainly have never asked anyone else for feedback.
Really?
And what I'm curious to know is, you've obviously gotten feedback from partners in the past. Do you ask for feedback?
I ask. You ask? I will ask.
Green flag.
I will ask before. I will ask after. I will ask. Like, I am so... Like I said, for me, it's about, like, everyone is so different and everyone is into such different things that, yeah, absolutely, I'll ask for feedback afterwards. Like, I think that maybe comes from having had positive sexual experiences early on and not necessarily feeling super insecure in that department. But I think, yeah, like, I will seek out feedback afterwards. I mean, not all the time, but if it's kind of particularly, if it's someone that I plan on seeing again or I've seen multiple times, yeah, I want to know, what did you like? What don't you like? You know, and like, it can even be a conversation the next time you're in bed and things are starting to get intimate. It's like, oh, I noticed that you really liked this. Is that something that you're into? Or, hey, you are super, like, you know, I see there's this kind of like really masculine side to you, particularly when we're in the heat of the moment. Do you want to kind of be a little bit, you be a little bit more dominant and control? It can be a led question like that from something that I've observed or felt, but it can also just be simply like, how is that? Like, and it's not like, it's not, and I'm so open to, like, if they're kind of like, oh, it was amazing, I'm like, oh, there's got to be other things. And I mean, I've even asked for, what with past partners, like, what are amazing sexual experiences you've had in the past? What are
some, I think that's a great way to talk about it. Yeah. Like, what did you, and it's something that I've learned to do with Greg now that we're like, because we see other people, it's like, he'll go and hook up with someone. I'm like, I'm not the kind of person that like gets off on listening to him hooking up with other people, but I am like, was there anything that you did with them that you'd love to do together? Like, was there a highlight? Yeah. Was there something that was fucking awesome and we should totally add that into our thing? Like, what was going on? I think it's such a nice way to almost be objective about it. You don't have to give someone direct feedback, but it's like, look, this one time I did this thing and it was fucking cool. Do you want to do it? I think it's a nice way to bring it in. I think emotions can get in the way of feedback sometimes.
Oh, absolutely they can. And don't get me wrong, like, I've still got plenty of insecurities and I've still got my own things that would potentially be hard to hear, or that'd be like, oh, like, that's kind of a little bit of a turn off to me. But I think that something that I'm like, I'm super open-minded about, and particularly when it comes to like sex, is that we all have desires and different things feel good for all of us. And in so conversations like had recently, I was talking to this girl that I was seeing, and we were talking about like, would we do an open relationship? And both of us kind of came to the conclusion that we wouldn't want to, but something that we'd really want to be able to do is have an open channel of communication where we were both so comfortable talking about. So if, for example, she was like, I want to feel wanted. I haven't, like, you know, whatever it is, like, and I want it to be like, I'm sick of, you know, you, like, I know that you want me, so that's now boring. I just need to go and say, like, maybe you go to a club and then they like basically go all but going home with someone, basically like meet someone and all that stuff. Then you're at the club, so then you go home together, and like figuring out what the desire is, like the unmet desire is, that's making them want something different, and figuring out a way that you can do it together, like, and figuring out a way that you can go down that path as a team. And I think that if you're not open and comfortable hearing feedback, and like I said, it's not always going to be positive for like both of you, and it's kind of like,
you don't want the positive feedback though, right? Like, I have to tell people this at the, so have you done your CrossFit level 2?
No,
I said I wasn't gonna do CrossFit, but I always have CrossFit analogies.
Yeah, I was about to say a sports analogy there as well, but yes, no, right? I have not.
whenever we do the level two, and you absolutely need to do yours, we give the coaches feedback. And I'm like, guys, you are all getting feedback. And I know that you would love to be that person that doesn't get feedback because you're just so fucking amazing. None of you will be that person. I could have Ben Bergeron walk in here and I could give him feedback. I could have any, like, the best coach in the world, and you will find something. And it's what you want. Because without it, get Yami. Man, I have a story about Yami. Yami and I got wasted in Switzerland together a long time ago.
Oh, he is just the best.
He's awesome. He's so fucking brilliant. But it's like you can find those coaches and still give them something. And you want the bad feedback, because that is where there's opportunity to try something on, to change something, to do something different.
Maybe that comes to just like, I've played sport my whole life. And we had this funny conversation when I was in Iceland, and it was like, we were doing a workout and I was there with kind of Annie and the crew there. Of course, we're talking about CrossFit now, but we were doing this workout and I just like fucked it up. And I was just like, fuck you, stupid cunt, like fucking hell. And they were like, holy shit, you talk to yourself like that? I was like, you obviously didn't play rugby growing up in like the 90s and the early noughties, when like you obviously didn't grow up playing rugby in Australia and hear the shit that your coaches would scream at you at halftime when you, like, every expletive under the sun. And I think that, like, I always wanted to play sport at a high level. So with that just comes feedback. Like, you're going to get negative feedback, and it just becomes a part of, you just have to accept it. Now, I think I can actually swing to the opposite end of the pendulum, and I can go two down the kind of self-deprecative path of like, what am I doing wrong? And not just like in the bedroom, but in every facet of my life, and become more fixated on what's wrong with me. And that's kind of been a big learning experience for me as well, particularly over the last 12 months, is actually getting better at looking and getting better at like looking at seeking out positive feedback and actually fucking listening to it. Not just being like, I mean, this stems from so many early life experiences for me, but actually seeking out positive feedback and being willing to listen to it, not just kind of being like, they're just saying that to try and be nice and seeking out more. If I was actually gonna say something that's been probably a negative in potentially in past sexual relationships I've had, it would potentially be that negativity bias, and that's sort of always looking for what I'm doing wrong and trying to just fix that, versus being like more attuned to like what goes wrong. Because I think that then comes an inherent amount of like maybe like anxiety and that self-deprecative nature. And I think that can actually be as detrimental as only wanting to hear the positive feedback. If you're just so concerned with what you're doing wrong all the time, I think it's just as bad as only listening to positive feedback.
Yeah, God, yeah, absolutely. And I think, I don't know if there's a perfect ratio for everybody, but I do believe that what probably works well is that you give negative feedback, but maybe there is still a little bit more positive feedback than there is negative. I don't know. I don't know if there's a ratio, but I think there's a balance that you could probably strike.
I think it just comes down to sincerity. I think it comes down to sincerity, and I think it comes down to how good your communication is with that person and how much you trust them. If you have really good communication, so I remember a past partner that I was with, and she would be brutally honest in her feedback. And sometimes, and this was kind of like an early-ish kind of partner that I had, and there was this kind of level of brutality to some of the stuff that she would say that I was like, oh, okay, like, cool, thank you for sharing. Like, and it's like, you kind of got to this point. But the thing was, what that meant was that when she did say the positives, I was like, well, you don't fucking sugarcoat the negatives. So I do believe the positives as well. Mm. Now, in hindsight, she's actually just like kind of a horrible person. And I don't necessarily think it was actually done in that manner. I think it was kind of like her feeling insecure in the relationship and trying to make me feel insecure in the relationship, and it not necessarily having the effect that she wanted, and me just being like, that's a bit weird, but okay, thank you for telling me that. And I think that was like more of a kind of relationship dynamic tactic from her than it was necessarily about honest feedback. But I think if you have the like that, you value the way that you communicate and you trust your partner and you trust that your communication is really honest and open about everything, then it allows you to, I don't think there needs to be a ratio then. I think it can just be genuine, hey, this is what I'm feeling. Like, obviously, if you're only feeling negative, massage that into kind of like some positive type stuff as well. But hopefully everyone's listening to this and just having way better conversations.
Yeah. It's the honesty, right? Being honest about the good stuff, being honest about the bad stuff. And I think if you do it for any ulterior motive, because it's a ratio, because you feel bad about something, or because you've got your own shit going on, it's like people smell that from a mile away. I know, like, if I say anything nice to Greg because I feel bad about something, like if I'm going on a date and so I start pouring on a little bit of extra love, he's like, stop, please. I know why you're doing this. You got to stop. And I'm like, fuck, I just want to fix this. And I can't. Yep. It's like, hey, this is the reality. Like, okay, cool. Yep.
No, I completely agree.
So I want to find out what, I know you're red cum as you are. Mm. Did you like it? What were some of the highlights for you?
I thought it was brilliant. So again, part of this whole kind of last, maybe like 12 to 18 months of self growth.
There's been some changes in the last 12 months. You've said 12 months at least 20 times.
12 to 18
So I'm assuming months. 12 months from when you moved to Iceland. Is that what's,
no, basically,
what the trigger was?
Or? I would say like the months leading up to me leaving Australia mid-year last year. So from the months leading up to I left Australia early July last year and basically traveled for 6 months, came back for a couple of weeks and then moved to Iceland. And I think that whole experience has been so fucking transformative for me for so many different reasons. I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm in like the best fucking most like amazing stable. Like going back to me saying, would I be necessarily ready to kind of dive into just any old relationship? Well, no, like it would have to be a pretty spectacular person, or I would have to feel like I was a bit more grounded personally because I've just come back. But yeah, like, there's been so much stuff that's kind of changed, and that's, I think, like for the positive as well. And I think so reading Come As You Are kind of came about, I just kind of went down this path of like, I want to read more like feminist literature. I want to read more like feminist philosophy. I'm big into philosophy. I read a lot of kind of like all sorts of different philosophy. And I started reading a little bit of Simone de Beauvoir, and I was like, fuck, I don't read enough. Like, here I am as someone that wants to be a better partner. I mean, and I think that's been kind of the focal point, a big thing for me as well, like wanting to be a better partner and going down that kind of road as well. And it's like, well, fuck, like expand your kind of mind and start reading things written for women by women. And that was kind of how I found that book. And I was like, sweet, what better way to find out more about the fairer sex than actually reading a book for them written by a woman? That was brilliant. I loved it. I loved, like, there's so many good analogies in there. The accelerator and the brake one is so good. The context is the accelerator brake's unbelievable. And that's that whole idea of, and even just like context and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it just so beautifully goes with the idea of being open to having better communication, being vulnerable, being willing to look at like every partner being different and them wanting a different sexual experience and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, it's just kind of really beautiful for me as well to see a woman speaking to women so openly about sex and sexuality. And then it also though at the same time made me sad because I feel like this is missing. I feel like there is still such a kind of like we spoke about stigma and taboo about having conversations about sex and sexuality for men that extend beyond, you know, bang heaps of chicks and fucking performances when you do it as well. And so yeah, there was an air of like, I don't know, like, yeah, I kind of felt a little sad at the same time reading it because I mean maybe there is and I just haven't come across it, but yeah, I've not seen much kind of stuff in the same vein for dudes.
Yeah, it's true. I think what's nice about the book is it gives you just more language. I remember feeling that way when I read The Five Love Languages, which was such a simple concept, but it just gave you such beautiful language and vernacular for being like, oh, you're a words of affirmation person. Like, I can speak words of affirmation, or if I can't, I can work on that. And then they're like, hey, I'm really good at speaking fucking gifts or access, whatever it is. And it's like, it was just the way to connect and communicate, because that's kind of the barrier for all this stuff to happen and go well. It's just communicating it. And the accelerator, the brakes, all that stuff was just spot on.
Oh, it's so spot on. And you listen to it and you're just like, yeah, it's so spot on. And like, it was a brilliant book. It's like, and you kind of go like, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely this. And I think about past partners. I'm like, oh, when you have a partner that's the same as you, it's just like that vibe and all that kind of stuff. But then on the flip side of that, like I said, it's like a story when you're kind of with a new partner and you kind of, if they are a different kind of mismatch of accelerator break, figuring that out and kind of that being a really beautiful process for both of you to kind of yeah, to work out how to kind of best get them going. You know, I've been with girls that are saying, like, I would be hard, fast accelerator, very minimal brake. And I've been with girls the same, and it's awesome. But then I've also had partners who are definitely like slow accelerator with an easy brake. And that's creates a completely different dynamic. But the sex can still be so fucking beautiful and so passionate and powerful with those people too, if you're willing to actually use that and having, yeah, like you said, language to kind of explain and, or at least like describe in my own head the different types of sex. It's kind of cool as well. Something I think, yeah, it's a brilliant book. Brilliant book. I highly recommend that girls read it.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. There's so many books that both men and women need to read, and it will only help both of them. I think, I was going through a phase probably in my like mid to late 20s, like 25 to 29, 30, where I was like, orgasm for women and sex for women, it's way worse. And I was like one of those people on, you know, like on the side of like, go with the woman's team. Like, it's just, we have a harder time. Like, it's not fair on us. Da, da, da. Yep. And then what happened was when I started talking to Greg, and I was with someone that I could have honest, open conversation with and actually get some better insight into like the man's side, I realized that as much as I'd focused on orgasm for women being such a fucking like thing to battle with for so many of us, there was the equivalent for men, and it was around fucking getting hard and when to fucking finish. And it was like, it's like all that performance anxiety is huge. And I had no fucking idea. I literally had no idea. And I was like, men have it so easy. You just have to show up and you're going to get a boner like guaranteed. And I'm like, no, hang on a second. Like, absolutely not. Like, there is so much pressure because without you, it can't happen. Like, women can kind of like get away with not having to do much. And there's problems on that front. But it's like we can kind of just be there and it's okay. And guys, it's like, well, you got to get hard at the right time. You got to stay hard. And then you can't come too soon. But you also can't stop yourself from coming in case you don't come at all. And if you take too long, like,
then they don't feel like, sexy as well. Yeah. And I think this is the thing. I have experienced every single one of those issues with a partner in the past. It is so fucking normal. And the worst thing you can do is be like, it is so fucking normal. And that's that whole idea of competence being so inherently linked to kind of traditional notions of masculinity. Competence is you get hard, you stay hard, you fuck her brains out, she comes a bunch of times, you finish at the perfect time, you go about your merry way. Like, that's there. And you know, that's from porn, from like popular, you know, pop culture. Like, you kind of look at, there's so much, and like, you better have a massive dick as well. Like, if you don't have a massive dick, you know what you're doing. It's like all these kind of things that pop culture, like there, and that's what I meant by saying that there was like a degree of reading this book and seeing how beautiful it was for women and how kind of liberating, and feeling like there is that missing for dudes. There is that kind of like, you know, being able to kind of speak to them about the performance anxiety and the whole idea that it is a performance and that it's not about connection, or and that intimacy is this kind of binary you fuck or you don't fuck type thing. I don't know, there is a lot of that kind of expectation, and society doesn't, it's kind of moving towards that, you know, body positivity and all that kind of stuff, such an amazing fucking movement towards empowering women. And it's such a taboo thing to be like, oh, poor men, because people go like, fuck, you know, like, and I see that too. That's been a big part of like wanting to dive into more kind of female like oriented like books and sort of female lit and like feminist philosophy and all this kind of stuff, is seeing and experiencing and awakening to the various ways that there is, you know, imbalances in society between men and women. And it's true. It's so fucking true. It is there. But I think when it comes to sex and sexuality, men are being left behind. And as women become more awakened to kind of their own sexuality, it's going to create this gap. And that kind of gap is going to become like the gap for having great sex and not having great sex is not going to close until men get better off at talking about it.
Yeah. My one criticism of some of the stuff that like we're seeing happening now with women is I feel like there are so many people that are, rather than just looking for men and women to be side by side, it's like, it's almost looking for payback, where it's like, no, fuck yes. men, have absolutely no sympathy for them, get as far ahead as possible. And it's like, no, it just doesn't work that way. You're just as bad as them, you know, the past.
And that's just like, I mean, yeah, that's part and parcel of the current landscape, particularly with social media being so polarizing. Like, people make the most noise by being the most out there with their opinions and being the most kind of polarizing with it, because you're going to get positive.
Oh, God, right? Yeah. Yeah. Being divisive.
Yeah. So I think that, yeah, I think that unfortunately just comes as part of the territory and the territory of social media and the way that people are using their voice these days. And again, it's just creating unnecessary noise and divisiveness that's moving us away from the actual goal of equality and the actual goal of fucking everyone actually getting along a lot better than they currently do.
Yeah, right. It's like, hey guys, we all want the same thing.
yeah, completely agree.
So you said that you had this experience where you really enjoyed people giving you pleasure and like you having to be in this position where you kind of have to sit back and be like, okay, I'm not going to be the giver, I'm not going to be in control, I'm actually just going to take and enjoy this. And I think actually there's a wheel of consent. Have you ever seen the wheel of consent?
No, I haven't.
So it's actually not specifically talking about consent as what we probably understand it, but we're talking about.
I just made myself sound like a fucking terrible person. What's the wheel?
No. Fuck. You're good.
All that talk of equality. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus.
So essentially it's like, hey, when we're giving, we're also getting pleasure. So it's this kind of gift that we accept. So if you're receiving, you're actually giving the gift of letting that person get pleasure out of giving you pleasure. And it's the same thing vice versa. So you can be in the receiving end or the giving end, both simultaneously being able to get pleasure from them. And I wanted to know, and I'm going to swing this into like more sexy stuff. What is some of the feedback that you, and I know that you're going to say it's totally individual dependent. It depends on who it is. I just know you so well. Is there some stuff that you have in terms of sex, either oral sex or penetrative sex, where it's like, hey, I wish more women did this? So it's like, if you could give some positive feedback.
So when I'm in the position purely being pleasured.
Yeah, being pleasured.
Just walk past while I'm having this conversation.
Yeah, I know. There's people in the gym.
there's been plenty of feedback. I think you can tell when someone, like you said, is also getting pleasure from giving the pleasure and versus them doing it because they think they need to. And I think authenticity and just being completely authentic in what you want to do. If you're going to tell me that you want to do all this stuff to me, do what you want to do to me. And do it because you are enjoying doing that as well. I think showing up authentically like that is a big one. I think, I mean, fuck, like if you want actual specifics of like, hey, do this, like there's been times where I've been like, suck the dick harder, like suck on it, like it's actually hard, like suck it harder, like moving the hands at the same time.
Have you had girls do the, and there's a name for it that came from Call of
Yes,
Duty.
I have.
The Glockwa.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say.
The double hand and the mouth.
Yeah. That old black clock, it's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, if that girl knows what they're doing with it, it's pretty funny. But like, yeah, simple stuff like that. I think as well, I think different types of movements, like you know, if they're on top, like running the full length of the shaft, like coming all the way up and all the way down, stuff like that, from like specifics. And then
I think this is where girls have to not try to be porn stars as well. Because guys try to be porn stars, but girls have to not as well. Because the hard, fast, hey, there's a time and place for that and it's fucking awesome. And like, I don't get me wrong, I love to pretend I'm a porn star on days. But there's something that happens when you can create almost like a reference point that's different. So it's like if you have slow and almost torturous slow, where it's the full length of the shot that you're riding up and down. Yeah. You can stop the guy from moving as well. I remember watching a girl do this to Greg. So we had this girl. She was awesome. She had locked her feet on top of Greg's thighs and had literally like pressed all of her body weight onto his shoulders. He couldn't move. And he was trying to fuck her back and he couldn't. She was like, no, you're my bitch. And she just took that cock like a champ. And it was slow. And he wanted to fuck her. She wouldn't let him. And it was just like the funnest thing to watch. And then they went past the
phenomenal thing. Yeah, that's a that just that kind of, she knew what she wanted. She did it exactly the way she wanted. She wasn't influenced by him trying to fucking do it. Like, that's that authenticity. That's that, nah, I'm doing this because this is what I want. And there's been, not to go down the individual path, but it's like, I can think of different sexual experiences where it's been like so clear that this is what, that like, I'm just basically, like, they're just like, you're my fucking bitch. It's like, all right, sweet, do whatever you want to do. And it's like so different. And I think,
and it can be fun. It can just be a fun thing. Like, I wish more people would just relax and just enjoy it and laugh during sex and talk as needed. It's like, it should be.
One of the funnest experiences I think I've ever had was with, well, not funnest experience, but like a memorable experience was, just like with this girl, and we had a really, a brilliant connection, and we were kind of like, just like having sex, and she just like cracked a joke mid, like just stopped. And she was kind of like on top going, doing a thing. Just kind of like stopped and looked at me and just cracked this joke. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I like said it, and she like said the joke, and I was like, that's fucking brilliant. Like the whole, you know, here we are having this kind of passionate, crazy sex, and then the joke comes out so inappropriately timed, but that's so fucking me, like inappropriate timing all day. And then that joke came out, and it was just kind of like, this is like, I like you. You're cool.
And here you are telling the story on a podcast. It was definitely memorable. I think that's it. It's like, and that's part of the problem with watching sex on film or on movies or reading in the stories. They skip out all the messy, funny, random little interactions that have to happen. That it's like,
it's that romanticism. It's the romance. It's either passionate or like animalistic, and there's nothing in between, but there's a lot in between. And that's where the magic happens a lot of the time.
Yeah. And I think it does come down to being able to talk about it and talk about it as it comes up and not hold on to it or not save it for later. It's like,
oh, 100%. I agree. Talking. It is. And that's that communication.
I know, right? Okay. This is a question that I'm going to say, and then I'm going to give you some add-ons. Butt stuff, receiving. Are you into it?
If the girl's into it.
Butt stuff, giving. Are you into it?
If the girl's into it. I mean, yeah, if it goes into it. I think, yes, I also just like, if it's a matter of like, it's, like I said, some, like I've had super sexy experiences where the girl has had like a real masculine side that they've wanted to let out within the context of it. And I've let them do butt stuff to me. It's like, it doesn't, it's not because it feels particularly pleasurable to me, but it's so sexy seeing them step into this other side of themselves that so desperately wants to get out, and allowing them this kind of safe place to explore these incredibly taboo things. That's super sexy, super fucking sexy without it being like, oh my God, it feels so good. It's like, no, just like the whole experience is so fucking sexy because they're so into it. And then as well. And I think that there's like, I think there's a good and bad way to do it. But even like, even with that, like there's so much more that goes into butt stuff than just fucking, let's go. Or you can run the risk of it being a very uncomfortable experience. And you can have uncomfortable experiences and laugh about them as well. Like, I think it's kind of, super duper dependent on the person and the situation. But I like I said, there's very few, if anything, that I would be completely opposed to if it was communicated in a respectful way. There was a conversation about it, and it was kind of a, it was like, even if the reason is just because it fucking seems weird, let's try that. Have you ever tried that? No, let's do it. Like, that's just like,
it's the greatest. That's such a great conversation to have.
I'm a super sexually curious person as well. I have fucking ADHD. I want different things and try new things and do that and do this. And if you can find a partner that's as sexually curious as you, like, that then is like the fuck me, like that's the jackpot. Because then all of a sudden, it's not about, you don't have to kind of be like, oh, I'll just like watch porn or like go and sort of look for anything outside of the relationship. It's like, nope, I'm just like, we're on the same wavelength, super sexually curious. And I think that would be a huge compatibility thing for me, like sexual curiosity. For sure.
There are these BDSM checklists that you can find. You can just Google them. And they're not, when I say BDSM, they include BDSM things, but it's the whole range of anything you can imagine sex-wise. And it's like super vanilla stuff, oral, like hands to full blown, like anything wild and hectic is on there. Yeah. And the list, the whole concept of it is it's like, hey, we're going to, and usually what it is it's like a dom sub dynamic where the dom will give the sub this list because they're trying to figure out and establish what they've got experience with, what they don't have experience with, what's a hard no, what's a fuck yes. And then what's really cool is that there's this area where you can say, I've never done this before, but I'm super intrigued by it. Or I've never done this before. Maybe I'd try it, but it might be a no. And it's like, and so what Greg and I did is we actually went through it just asking each other the questions of like, hey, would you do this? Would you do that?
Yeah.
What's your, have you done this? Have you done that? And you just find out all these things and you get into these conversations about different sex things that neither of us would ever want to do, but you end up talking about it and and thinking like, it through and it's bizarre.
It seems a bit weird. Let's go.
Yeah, it's like, it's such a great way to find out. Because I think so many people think, no, I'm not into that. But it's like, sometimes the taboo stuff is actually incredibly intriguing.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing. Like, the eroticness and the kind of intimacy is, it's, again, let's go back to CrossFit. Like that shared experience of suffering in the gym brings you closer together. That shared experience of trying something that is maybe a little bit weird and a little bit off kilter. Like there is a level of intimacy and trust that's developed through doing that and through like doing that with someone. I think it's a really powerful thing. I used to have not sort of in the same vein with a like an ex of mine from a while ago. We used to play, I used to call it the alphabet game. And so it would be like literally, we'd be like alphabet game, both take our clothes off and we would just go through the alphabet from A to Z and try and think of some sort of sex act with every letter of the alphabet. And it would go in turn. So like 1 week, like one time I would start and then we would alternate. So I'd do A, she'd do B and vice versa. The next time she'd start with A, then I'd start with B. And it was the same sort of thing.
Oh my God.
And you'd be like it was kind of always like, a, oh, try it. Let's go.
Did you ever get past like E?
Well, yeah. Like
I feel like you'd get carried away.
And you can, but we would, but that's the thing. Like that's that whole idea of, we enjoyed the fun of that experience. That wasn't necessarily an extremely erotic experience. It was about just exploring our sexual curiosity and being a bit silly with it all, like being a little bit.
Can you give me examples of what you would do? Like, okay, if I give you a letter, I'm going to give you M.
M. So it might be mutual masturbation, or it might be, or it might just be masturbation. So one of the part, like one of you gets off while the other just watches and then allowed to touch themselves. Or it might be metal. So like find something metallic and incorporate that into the sex act or something like that. It was just depended on the day and how ridiculous.
That's awesome. Okay. I'm going to give you one more letter. L. Go.
L. It could be, fuck. Like licking, so but all but actual the sex, just like using your tongue, licking all different parts of the body. I don't know, fuck, I haven't played the alphabet game in a while.
I immediately thought lesbian, so I'd probably be like watching.
So one time I remember this clearest fucking day for S, we did scissoring and we fucking tried this. Two of us, so maybe we could have done the same for lesbian, and
that's it was amazing.
Like having fun, being ridiculous with each other and not being afraid of just like exploring
and making sex talk just normal talk, you know, it's like it doesn't have to be a special kind of conversation, it's actually just a very normal conversation. And I think like something that I absolutely love about my relationship is we talk about sex fucking all kinds of the day, like in the car, at the grocery store, like in the house, in the kitchen. It's like we actually don't talk about sex that much in the bedroom because we've talked about it so much everywhere else. And it's like that's a really nice place to be. And I just want that for everybody in all their relationships.
I agree. I totally agree. It is a really amazing place to be with someone. And yeah, like that sexual compatibility and chemistry is, it's really cool when you find someone that is on that same wavelength.
Yeah. And I think it's like, you got to do it from the beginning. I don't think it's something that you can't just hang on to that desire and like throw it out there, you know, 3 months into seeing someone. It's like, no, like the, from talking to people online, I'm like, if you want to be sexual and you want to be open, it's almost like you're the example and you give someone permission to be that way back.
Yeah. 100% agree. Hey, I've actually got a jet.
We've gone past 30, we'll wrap it up. Perfect.
I had a feeling that we would go down this path and it would be very easy to fill the time.
I love the alphabet game. That's definitely something that
yeah,
I
yeah, something awesome. To kind of take away. A little takeaway for all you people.
Yeah, I know, right? Homework. Okay, everyone listening, this is homework.
It gets fucking hard at like X and Z. Z, you kind of really got to get a little bit creative and go from there.
Amazing. You know,
it was like Zebra one time where we like painted ourselves with like stripes with lipstick and yeah, have fun with that.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
No worries, Kate. I'll all catch right. ya.
See ya.
Bye.